Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And my guest today joining us is the Managing Director of Quirky Digital, an agency that believes they're not just your average SEO agency and always go ahead of the curve. Please welcome Liam Quirk.
Perfect, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. I know you've had a long wait list of people wanting to get on, so appreciate it.
No problem. Well, for the people watching this podcast and listening to it who doesn't know anything about you, could you give us like a tour of when it was you started in the industry and how you got into the industry and what you've been doing from then till now?
Yeah, perfect. So I started in the industry back in high school. So my uncle was a big influence on me. So he was actually in the SEO industry himself. He was doing a lot of good stuff. He was doing your digital PR campaigns, your bait and switch type campaigns before they were really cool, before anyone knew about them. So he used to show me this really interesting stuff he used to create. And I had no clue what value it added to any businesses until I actually started to learn for myself, started to explore SEO. So it was probably about 10 years ago, I actually left school. So 16, left school, went straight into an apprenticeship. So as an apprentice, I had quite a lot of like background knowledge about SEO because, you know, obviously I had, you know, a family member that was in the industry. I started to do a lot of research about it. I started to understand how search engines work. Had no actual experience of doing it. And obviously around that time, went in and started to straight into an apprenticeship. And, you know, pretty much the tea maker to begin with. Literally doing everything from building citations. I was even writing content. I don't know why people let me write content when I used to think back on it. Some of it's actually still live. But that was back when you could just, you know, you could get away with keyword stuff. And to be fair, didn't really have to add that much value. So that's the type of stuff I used to do. Even like, you know, it's probably the back end of like Web 2.0 properties as well. So you've got WordPress sites, you've got Weebly's, that type of stuff. That was the type of stuff I used to get tasked with, and it was it was all fun and games, and you know, really learned the ropes. Agency I was working at, I used to work with very small budgets and very big budgets. So 1 minute I'd be working on, you know, like a £199 a month type campaign for you know, your local builder in Wrexham, to, you know, working for one of the biggest, you know, hotel groups in the UK, and they used to actually get work outsourced them from other agencies. So, you know, I was doing lots of little different things at the time. You know, I was learning from some really good people above me, and really got a taste for SEO. So that was like how I, you know, got into the industry. It was around that time where I started to actually create my own websites as well. So, you know, one thing I always say to people now when I look back, probably the thing which has taught me the most about SEO is the mistakes that I've made. And you know, I've been fortunate in the fact that, you know, I've been working on my own projects where I have been able to make mistakes. I see a lot of people now, obviously the industry, there's a lot of SEO influencers, there's a lot of people telling you that their way of doing things is the right way of doing things always. Literally, it's all just on LinkedIn at the minute. And there are people that will just react and start trying that for their clients, and it's not the right way to be, you know, spending their budget. So what I used to, you know, I had no idea that I was, you know, that was the reason why I was doing it. But, you know, back then I used to just set up my own websites, test my knowledge, you know, with Elementor, with WordPress, see how far I could, you know, push things, you know, build citations, build, you know, UK businesses on US citation directly websites and try and see what type of value they would add. So I used to build my own sites, used to break my own sites, and that's what, you know, gave me real foundational knowledge of SEO. And then the stuff that used to work, I then used to apply that for the agency. So yeah, I had a good grounding, to be fair. You know, if I look at the bigger agencies in the UK, the types of, you know, agencies that probably my company's aspiring to be like, you know, people that start off working for them do have the luxury of working with big brands, you know, ones that, you know, if they was the creator linkable asset, people would link to it, or they'll naturally link to the contents. You know, people want to share their contents, whereas I was on the complete opposite scale. You know, I was doing stuff on my own websites. You know, I was working on really small websites, and I was trying to really think outside the box, really get the most I could have got out of smaller budgets. And I think that gave me good ground. And so when I actually, you know, started to work for agencies that were bigger, it almost felt like working on the campaigns of bigger budgets become easy. So that was essentially my, you know, my SEO career up until 4 years ago. So working with local agencies, obviously based here in Liverpool and on the Wirral, and, you know, work with some big brands. And one of the most recent agency that I left, and then obviously 4 years ago, just before COVID, decided to start my own agency, which pretty much 4 years, yeah, 27th of May 2020 was the date, so almost 4 years since I actually become an official limited company and started to grow myself as a brand. And grew it from obviously being myself in the bedroom to, I mean, we're a team of 15 now, working with some decent sized brands. So yeah, I've had a bit of a journey in 10 years.
Wonderful. Now, what sort of learnings have you had from working within somebody else's agency to actually running and building your own agency? I mean, obviously perception is very different from reality. So from your own personal views, what sort of learnings have you had?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, I've not really thought about it before, like what the actual, what the perceptions were. But the way I used to look back, the main one, to be fair, is, you know, as I've been growing up, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted to start my own agency was because I wanted to have flexibility in my own time and my own travel. And if I'm being honest, I haven't had that now for probably 3 years since I actually started to make the decision that I wanted to grow the agency. I used to have a lot more time and I used to work for somebody else, put it that way. And my perception was I could pretty much go around doing whatever I wanted. So that's the first one. And that's not just, you know, agency background. I suppose that's business in general. I think any business owner would, you know, a lot of them do decide they want to start their own business either for financial reasons or for, you know, to fit around the personal life. And, you know, I unfortunately haven't had that luxury yet. But hopefully I'll get there and, you know, making some progress towards that. Probably the other thing, I think, which I probably felt a little bit, you know, to begin with, I've become quite overwhelmed as I started to grow an agency. And now, you know, we're working with 40 different businesses across like UK and Europe. And when I used to work for other agencies, I used to think in my head, it's all about getting the task done. And it's all about getting the task done right. And it was literally, you know, doesn't matter how long this task takes, I'll get it done. So if it's like take on a new client, do a keyword mapping exercise for them. I always thought this needs to be as, you know, as in depth and as, you know, as well planned out as possible, so that when like the content writers within the team are working on it, they've got as much details as possible. What I started to learn, and as I said, when I worked for agencies, that was my mindset. It's like, it needs to be done right. I'd constantly tell my seniors that, no, this needs to be done right. I need to spend all the time I need to take to do this. Whereas now, obviously, when you're running an agency and you've got a lot of other clients and you've got your team doing it for you, it's not necessarily you doing it. You don't necessarily, I mean, obviously, you want the 100% the best for your client and everything needs to be done correctly. But I do think in my head, you know, this task, I predicted it to take 6 hours, and it's ended up taking, you know, in some cases it might take a week or 10 days. And it's like, that's the type of thing that you don't necessarily realize when you're working for somebody else. That actually impacts the profitability of a business. So that's something which I never really thought about it until obviously you started to grow the agency, and then you start to realise how that can impact profitability. It can obviously impact other work that you're doing for other people as well. And yeah, nobody really wants to be a busy fool constantly, you know, working on stuff. So that's the important thing. And then probably the third point is like systems and processes. So, you know, other agencies I worked for didn't really have proper processes or systems with SEO. It was kind of, you know, this is the budget that we've got. We're going to have to work with it. And obviously, I tried to create a lot of these agencies that you used to work for with digital marketing agencies as a whole. So they'd have like, you know, they might build a website for somebody for $5,000 and then realize they've got £500 a month left for SEO. And then you'd have to do what's needed with that £500. It works as a business model for certain types of businesses. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for the clients either. Or it's not sustainable for, you know, the members of the team that have got to work on it and deliver the results. So that's one thing that when I've actually grew the agency is, you know, our budget now are, you know, much bigger than that. We've actually got a system, we've got a process which every client needs to follow. And obviously the system and process is suited. The budget is suited around what the client exactly needs as well. And that's the one thing that, you know, that allows us to have these systems and processes, is having them types of budgets that we can work with and having different, you know, experts within the business that we can rely on. So my team's built up of content writers, link builders, digital PR people, client managers, obviously technical SEOs as well. So whereas previously it was just purely, you know, it might be two SEO consultants working at an agency that has to do all that type of stuff themselves. So that they're obviously the biggest differences that I've noticed.
Yeah, I have found over the years that depending on the type of agency, if the what I call a creative first agency, as in design, so basically many of them used to be the old, you know, marketing agencies who just happened to stumble into digital, I found that SEO has just been like a bolt-on. You know, I've been into some agencies to mentor the teams and that, and I said, well, what are you doing? What have you sold? And they said, oh, we've got half a day a month. I said, but for what? No, they've just sold half a day a month. You know, and I think nowadays a lot of business owners and MDs and companies, they expect a lot more now. They want to see something tangible for the investment spend. And have you seen yourself with your own agency from a client perspective, that shift in mindset of expectations on clients?
100%. I think you nailed it, to be fair. I think when I started out, and it pretty much was myself as a, you know, a freelancer, a consultant, I was selling time. And it was selling expertise. It was, you know, jumping on a consultancy call. And I think that's quite easy to justify, although it doesn't necessarily lead to an end result unless things are being implemented. What I've started to notice, I think, and businesses, marketing teams have become more sophisticated. Being able to track spend has become a lot easier. Analytical tools, obviously GA4, I don't want to go too in depth about GA4, but you know, these new tools are coming out. Even your Shopify analytics, it's quite easy to track, you know, where leads and sales are coming from. And I think because business owners have been in that, or marketing teams have been in that mindset of, you know, I can spend X amount of money on Facebook ads and get this as a return, or spend this X amount of money in Google ads and get this return. Why can't you do the same with SEO? I understand that it is obviously more difficult. That, you know, the funnel is obviously a lot wider. And I think how I've kind of tried to counteract it is, you know, you can give an estimated return on investment. It's obviously, you know, it's very difficult to do. It's a very time-consuming process. But if a client asks for it, you know, we can try and give them it based off obviously keyword volume, what the current, you know, conversion rate is on the website. Is obviously a very broad, you know, estimation of what we can get. So we do that, but I think the best best way of approaching it is actually giving them tangibles as well. So I think what you mentioned before, you know, people have had the idea of selling themselves in a half a day. But if you actually turn that into, you know, content, like X amounts of content, you know, a digital PR campaign, a link building campaign, you know, to most of the clients, they don't necessarily understand the ins and outs of each of them different campaigns or how long they take. But they know what they're getting. And what they're getting is going to, you know, form part of the outcome, which is obviously more traffic, more sales, more leads. And I think that that's, as I said, I've 100% noticed the shift. And I think that, as I said, probably, you know, even just before COVID, I think a lot of agencies that obviously I was working with or even competing with at the time, that's what it was. It was like, you know, we've built your website. We're doing this marketing, we're going to focus on SEO this month and social media this month, and that's not going to get you, you know, results. But I think that's the way people used to do things. But I think, you know, as business has become more competitive, your corporate businesses are now investing into SEO where they probably weren't previously as much as they are now. You know, it's meant that people have had to step the games up.
Yeah, I do relate to you there, because I've seen some businesses, especially when it comes to PR, they value the traditional publication PR more than the digital stuff. You know, when they can sit there and hold a magazine and their brand's been featured in that magazine, it's just the thing they say, right, I've had my money's worth here, I can see it, even though they can't track a single thing. It's just that feeling of, yeah, I've spent this money and look, I can see myself in this great magazine type of thing. But I think as digital progresses and as SEO moves on, like a lot of agencies, they do go down the content route, not because it's needed and everything. That's obviously, but is when the client's paying X amount per month, they actually can show something. Whereas the old way of doing SEO, it's like throwing money at agencies and saying, well, you know, as the graph moved, what's going, they can't physically see anything. I think is from a business perspective, it's like, well, what can I see for my money?
That's it. I think that you've hit on a really interesting point. It's like, I think if you look at digital PR now as well, I mean, as an example, I think that's, obviously, you know, we offer digital PR as a service. It's, you know, it is so important nowadays. You know, it does help you stand out from the crowd. Can't deny that. But I think, you know, part of the reason that, you know, it has grew so quickly and, you know, it's become the sexy thing in SEO. It's because business owners will eat that stuff up. It is, you know, you've got me featured, you know, in the Daily Express. You've got me featured in the standards, you know. It's like, it goes back to what you said about the traditional PR. It's like, there's something tangible that you can see. You know, it's rare that digital PR campaign is actually going to lead to online sales. I've seen it, don't get me wrong, where products have been mentioned, but it's quite rare. It is, like, obviously, it's going to help as a wider part of the SEO strategy. That's why I think now that, you know, most big brands online, like the fast fashion brand there, putting ridiculous money into digital PR is almost not just obviously getting in that link, but then they can put on the website and say, look, we've been featured in these publications. When in reality, the product hasn't really been featured in the publications. Your SEO digital PR team created a really interesting study that's been featured in it. And so it all forms around trust. And I think I think it's going to become more and more important as well, not just obviously the way Google looks at things, but as, you know, we're in an AI world now where, you know, it is literally, you don't know who you're speaking to, you're getting emails, you don't know whether it's a person that's wrote it or not. You know, you're seeing videos go around the internet of, you know, fakes of people. I think a lot of marketing in general is going to become about trust. I've started to see it now where, you know, businesses are, you know, part of their marketing strategy is talking about how they've been featured in these publications and digital PR campaigns, just to give them this more, just, you know, more trust. It's crazy the way things are going.
I do think, you know, it's always been about that. You know, it's if you strip it right back, and me personally, you know, if there was two websites selling exactly the same thing, one that I know about and everyone talks about and it's well known, and another one that I've never even heard of, well, I'm going to go to the one I know and trust. It's just that it's the thing is, it's not about SEO. It's about, you know, the customer making the sale. Which one would you actually choose? It don't matter if you're ranking number one or not. If they think, oh, well, I don't know who they are or whatever. So the PR aspect is just a vital property within the overall sphere of SEO. I don't think that, you know, it's about, well, getting links on top tier publications boosts your authority score so you can rank. And that for me, I've never been into all that. It's about thinking from the business perspective and everything. I think in the industry, if we think more like that, you know, then it sort of opens opportunities that you hadn't thought about before.
Yeah. No, that's it. I think I completely agree with that. Again, I think it's, as I said, when you work on SEO campaigns, you can kind of become focused too heavily on keywords and rankings, and you know certain campaigns that even that we work on can be like a bit of a checklist exercise of, has this been done? Has this been done? Has this been done? Especially if you're working with new businesses as well that might not have invested in SEO previously, it's like you can't just checking these things. Whereas when you're working with a bigger brand, and you can probably get more into the marketing strategy as a whole, and that as to how that actually affects the SEO strategy, I think that's where you do see the crazy results.
Yeah, and I think for myself, I can see things from all sides of the coin. You know, I've built my own agency, and, you know, I've been in positions where, you know, I'm helping companies to basically take on an agency. You know, and I've seen the pictures that come in. And it's just like, you know, I've told you this is what we need to do. Yeah, but we prefer to do it this way. No, we need this. And I think a lot of it is down to that sort of checklist mindset of, well, this is what we've always done and this is what works and that. But you haven't actually listened to what I need. You know, that kind of approach, it's, for me, listening is one of the most underrated values an SEO could have.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's it. I think with obviously, like, you know, your local style campaigns, and it's someone that, you know, hasn't had SEO before, and it's quite clear, you know, it's a solicitor in Liverpool wants to rank for a keyword. Fast ones, obviously, that can be a pretty much checklisted exercise. Whereas if it's a bigger brand that's invested in, you know, SEO previously, or they might already have, you know, we've got a few like SaaS companies that we're working with at the minute, and they, like, you know, SEO just needs to be plugged in as part of their overall marketing strategy. That's where, when you listen, I think that, and the client will give you, you know, it will tell you the exact keywords it needs to rank for. Like, they know how people are searching for them. Whereas if someone comes to you a blank slate on a website, you know, these are the type of customers that we need. It is a bit of, you know, as I said, does become quite systemized.
So when you get, as an agency owner, when you get a new lead come in, what sort of process do you have in that pre-sale stage to actually say, well, this is the value we can provide? I mean, what could you, without going into too much detail, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, very like top level overview. I mean, like a typical inquiry that comes through our website. So we've got, probably the main thing that we push people towards is we've got a get a quote section on the website, and it probably takes someone 5 minutes to fill it. So if someone calls and says, I want to speak to someone about SEO, first thing we do is say, can you fill this form in? It's as straightforward as that. And then, you know, it'll basically get all the information in terms of obviously who they are, what type of search terms they think they want to rank for, who the competitors are, what other marketing activities that they're carrying out. Have they invested in SEO previously? If so, you know, can you detail what that is? You know, you can even attach a previous report or whatever that is. So we'll go away, we'll get the website. We won't have access to any of their analytics at this point. It'll just be, obviously, we'll have the URL so we can obviously put it in third-party software, Ahrefs, Semrush, whatever you choose. We'll put it in there. We'll go away and pretty much identify gaps in what they've been doing previously. And right away, what we typically do as a team, you know, literally to begin with, before we actually give them a call back about it or actually reach out to them, is we'll spend 15 minutes on it. And, you know, most good SEOs that have been, you know, been around the block will be able to pick holes on websites. And we basically go to them with, like, top-level overview. It might be that, you know, things I'm seeing all the time at the minute is, like, I mean, people using ChatGPT to write the content. Like, you know, they might have actually had, like, their own marketing team writing content and they're uploading it to the blog. And, you know, the same words are coming up that you see on ChatGPT all the time. So they're like instant things you look at. Obviously, you know, if, you know, we had one the other day, which is not absolutely smashed by the helpful content updates at the back end of last year. So it's like just picking out pain points. And obviously, you know, that's to say our process right away. Here's what we've spotted. Bit of an overview as to how we could improve it. We'll just jump on a call with them and say, look, this type of campaign, we'll give them like two different options. So we'll say, this could be, you know, more of a consultancy type approach where it's like we can advise on what needs to be done, or it can kind of, you know, be a managed service where we, you know, we can do your content writing, we can do your digital PR, do all your technical SEO, all that type of stuff together. So we'll give them two different options. Give them a very, you know, broad ball. When I say broad ballpark, it's from you know, a local campaign can be from, you know, £1,000 a month up to £5,000 a month. Literally, that's how broad we'll do it. Obviously, it'd be based on the industry. So if it's like a local plumber who wants to rank for a Liverpool keyword, it's obviously going to be towards the lower end. Whereas if it's like a, you know, an accountancy firm that wants to rank in multiple locations, it'll obviously be towards the higher end. So we'll go back to them, ballpark figure. They'll obviously, you know, come back to us. We'll jump on a call. They'll answer that, you know, the question. So if they even know they've been hit by an update, or they even know that they have these issues on the website, you know, sometimes they might try and explain themselves as to, you know, this is what the previous agency said, this is what they didn't do, and, you know, you start to get them types of answers out of them, so you can get an understanding and start to paint a picture of what's been done previously. And once we've started to paint that picture, we know what's been done previously. We know what they're, you know, essentially annoyed with, why they're potentially looking at moving to another agency, or why they need an SEO agency in the first place. And we've got an understanding of what their outcome is, because they've then sent us that they want to rank for these keywords. They've sent over competitors that we can see are doing quite well on the search engines, and we can kind of dissect their strategy as well. So once we've got all that information, we can then obviously go away, create a proposal based off that. And it will literally be, we'll go away, and when we create a proposal and, you know, we know that it's, you know, a genuine need, we go quite in depth. So we give them an overview of the type of content that we'd be writing for them, titles, what the volume of content would have to be, whether we're writing it for them, whether they're writing it for themselves. Obviously, you know, if digital PR or link building forms part of the strategy, we'll give some ideas in terms of the type of stuff that we can do for them. If it's a local campaign, obviously, you know, and they haven't done citations or the GMB type stuff, you know, we'll detail what that looks like and what type of impact that could have on the business based off similar campaigns that we've worked on previously. And obviously, from a technical SEO point of view, we don't go too in-depth to begin with. We obviously look at, you know, we look at stuff that, you know, we've seen across websites previously. So, as an example, we literally uncovered an issue the other day, which was like, you know, a client had the whole navigation menu was no-followed. And I was just like, how's this happened? And it's like, that's something that, you know, you don't necessarily look for because you don't expect it to be the case. And then we, you know, actually Semrush identified that for us. So, you know, normally when I look at like auditing websites, obviously, you know, your automated tools, your Screaming Frog, your SEMrush, your Sitebulb, your Ahrefs, these do pull out insights, but a lot, you know, 90% of it's gibberish. It doesn't really make a difference, in my opinion. It's obviously, you know, it's important that you do have a clean slate and as much of that's covered as possible. But is most of it going to move the needle? Whereas SEMrush flagged up as a warning that all these links are no follow. They're like, Jesus Christ. So it's like, it's looking out for stuff you see all the time, and we'll detail them in the proposal. And then obviously we'll get the proposal over to the clients. As I mentioned earlier, we'll give the clients an estimation in terms of, you know, if we work on this campaign for 6 months, we do all this work, these are deliverables you're going to get for 6 months. You know, we predict the campaign to be here. This is what I can do to your traffic. If it's an e-commerce client, we can give them an indication what I could do to sales as well if they've got previous history. Obviously, you know, B2B is obviously a lot more difficult than that as part of the sales process. But yeah, we will basically give the clients all of that information and we'll say, look, these are the different options. Yeah, do you want to move ahead with it? And it's, you know, hopefully I haven't gone too in depth, but yeah, that's pretty much our process.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fantastic explanation on that. But I mean, a lot of the chats I have with SEOs, it's mainly down to, well, you know, understanding what they can do to move the business needle forward. You know, yeah. It's just a matter, rather than saying, well, you know, I've said, well, why are you spending 3 days fixing this when it's not really, it's nice to do. I'm not saying it's not nice to do, but it won't actually move the business needle forward or the goals or objectives of the campaign. And I think it, not just in agency world, in freelance world, I see this a lot, where there's a lot of time and money being wasted on doing nice things that are nice to be done, but it won't necessarily move that business forward. You know, and from your perspective, the way you explained it, you do look at the priority of what you need to do based on, you know, the goals and impact you need to generate.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the important thing. I think, as I said, I think I mentioned it earlier, clients do want deliverables. So if you just say to a client, I want to spend half an hour on technical SEO, and at technical SEO is fixing broken links. Some of them might have an impact, some of them might not have an impact. It obviously depends how powerful web pages are. So you do have to give the client some sort of deliverable. When it actually comes to proposing it to them, as I said, it's got to be prioritized. When we're actually going away and creating that document, it is like, you know, the vast majority of the stuff that we're doing on there is, you know, when we've detailed fixes, if it's someone's hit by the helpful content or this updates, it's like, you know, actionable steps as to what we're going to actually do to fix that. Don't get me wrong, you know, we've picked up campaigns previously where things actually haven't been going that bad. It might be that they had an in-house SEO person that's decided to, you know, move somewhere else and they've been doing a good job, or they might have started their own agency, you know, whatever that is, or you might have had someone do SEO a few years ago and you decided to go all in on paid ads and now they're back into SEO. And, you know, we do pick up campaigns sometimes and it's like, what do we actually need to do here? Does content need to be refreshed? Do we even need to add any more content to this? Do we need to build any more links? You know, literally, sometimes we do pick up on campaigns and it's a little bit like, you do have to, you know, we will have to say to our clients, look, this is what we're proposing to do. This might not actually get the impact that you're expecting it to have. And I think you've just got to be upfront and honest with it. That's the right way to be.
Yeah, I think I'm receiving at the moment quite a few advisory requests from companies who's either working with an agency or has worked with an agency. And I'm not saying the agency's done a bad job. Basically, they might have, you know, doubled the organic traffic. Brilliant. But the business owner or the director CEO are just saying, well, it's not generating any more revenue. You know, they've done all these things, and, you know, I can't say they've done a bad job, because, you know, they've obviously created value and everything, but it's just not, you know, I can't justify it to my financial director. They spend, and that kind of approach, and I think, you know, in the SEO world, that's where we need to be thinking, you know, from the financial point of view, because if you're an agency, say you're charging $5,000 a month or whatever, and that $5,000 a month isn't actually providing a financial return on profit, well, where's the money going to come from to pay you in the future?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it is one of them. I think, you know, when you are, let's say you're an SEO, when I worked at other agencies, I'll be honest, I had no clue. Unless it was an e-commerce campaign, and you could see it in, you know, in Google Analytics or, you know, within Shopify, whatever it is, or Magento. Unless you could see the analytics, you wouldn't really know the type of impact that it has, the work that you're doing. You see the keyword rankings are improving. You see the, you know, the keyword, the website's ranking for more keywords, the website's getting more traffic. That's it. And that's the fit. And I think as when you're working, you know, at an agency that's delivering it, you know, you can become complacent. I think that's, you know, that is the thing. But I think as, you know, my agency's developed, you know, I've got a really good head of SEO who understands the commercial side of SEO. You know, she's on top of that. A lot of my, you know, other members of the team aren't necessarily that skilled, but they're starting to understand it because of her. Me, you know, and probably our client manager who speaks to the clients, you know, on a regular basis sometimes, you know, in some cases, speaking to clients on a weekly basis, every couple of days. They will tell us how things are going, whereas, you know, the team that are on the ground floor that are writing content or, you know, building links, doing digital PR campaigns, you don't really understand it. So I think, you know, and because I'm from an SEO background and I'm now, you know, a business owner, you know, I'm not just plugging SEO onto other services. You know, I do understand that. I do understand that, you know, the return you get from it. And as I said, don't get me wrong, we have got some campaigns we work on that are difficult to track. You know, if it's a, for example, you know, we work in the drug and alcohol rehabilitation space. So we've got, you know, a few sites in that industry. That can be very difficult to track if the client isn't reporting everything back to us, because, you know, most of that industry is built up off from phone calls. And it's not like someone decides over the phone there and then they're going to spend, you know, $8,000 to go into rehab. It's a process. And that's quite an old industry as well. Whereas, you know, e-commerce brands, they're on it. They know if a blog post that we wrote is generating revenue for them. Like, you know, we've got a few accountants that we work with, and you'd think that they'd be the ones that are on it financially. And it's like, look, and I'll sit down with them and they'll say, you know, what's this? What's, like, you know, you've focused on writing blog posts. What's this done, you know, in terms of the impact? And we'll say, look, these blog posts have generated, you know, 4 callback requests over the past week. What have you done with them leads? And they don't know themselves. And someone else has spoke to them, but they haven't put on the CRM system. So I think with, you know, e-com campaigns, it's easy to track. B2B campaigns, local campaigns, you have got to be reliant on the clients as well, that they're giving you accurate data. Even our website generates a lot of, you know, a lot of, like, you know, inbound leads, because we rank for a lot of the local keywords, agency type keywords. You know, am I tracking it as well as I tell my clients that they should be? Probably not. Because I know it's just SEO that we're sending to the website. But, you know, probably should be using that as an example.
Yeah, I know other agency owners who basically tell me they don't really care about how much traffic or what's ranking. Yeah. They just monitor the leads and the quality of the leads, because that's what matters to them. You know, obviously all this stuff over here is being done, but they don't really go into it and monitor that, you know, because they monitor what's going to push their agency forward. And I think what you were saying there, that some people in the team don't understand the business aspect. Well, they don't really need to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't expect some, you know, somebody to come in who dedicated to writing content to have a full commercial background. Obviously, they need to understand the impact from that content they need to generate, but I don't think that everyone in an agency needs to know that or have that understanding, you know, because as an agency owner, that's your job to make sure the senior team puts everything together so that will impact.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's a very good point. I think with, you know, agencies that do specialise in one area, I think they do have that luxury of it. Whereas, you know, I think we talked about it earlier, your agencies, you know, your full service agencies that might, you know, pull in different areas of marketing at certain points. It's like, if they've just got like a few SEO consultants working on it, they're not really going to track the impact directly of SEO. I think that's one thing that can 100% be improved, because, you know, what are they reporting on? Are they reporting on traffic? Are they reporting on keyword rankings? I mean, that's all good, well and good doing that, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, if it's a 12-month campaign, the end of the 12 months, and, you know, you've got the MD asking the marketing manager who's dealing with the campaign, what money is this generating for us? And they haven't been reporting on it, you know, it can leave people looking stupid.
Yeah, but it all comes down into what exactly are the expectations and what have you promised, you know, and that's the, you know, and two, well, the goals and expectations versus the budget, it's just like a thing that goes up and down. You know, obviously, if the budget isn't in line with the goals and expectations, then either the expectations has to reduce or the budget goes up. And it's just that communication. And I think a lot of issues arise between client and agency because of that communication upfront level.
Yeah, that's it. I think it is, and especially in the agency where, you know, we've got a lot of different clients as well. I think sometimes conversations with clients can be tiring as well. Like they can. Sometimes I particularly remember when I first started out, and, you know, when you were, I was very keen to impress. It was obviously during COVID, so it was at a time where people, you know, before people got the bounce back loans, people were looking at reducing the budgets on marketing. And it was almost, sometimes you'd put off difficult conversations and you'd think, you know, working as a field, I just think, I'm just going to get this person results no matter what, because I want this reputation that, you know, delivered good results for them. And, you know, it happens. Like, you've got to, probably got to do that when you're starting off an agency. You've got to, you know, 100%, you've got to give more than you're getting. That's probably one of the things that have probably got us, you know, to where we are now. But it's, you know, it does get to a point where you can't constantly, you know, the way I look at it is, I always used to think just, you know, always over deliver. Now I look at it as like, just do what you say you're going to do. And that's enough for most people. Literally do what you say you're going to do. And it's, if you've got that reputation of saying, you know, do what you say you're going to do, you're not doing it at the detriment of anybody else.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. It's do what you say you're going to do, but be in a position where you can prove you've done what you say you're going to do as well. And I think, you know, there's a sector in the industry that's literally gone to SEO productization, you know, because then there's no comeback on anything. They're not promising anything. Someone's buying X and they're delivering X, so they got what they paid for. And I think that model I'm seeing to open up a lot more in agency world as well.
Yeah. No, that's it. I think it is. It's all about expectations. I think, you know, when it is agency, you are, you know, when you're working with businesses, you are, you know, you're not necessarily always promised a result, but you're painting the picture of a result And I think if you're clear and upfront, so as I said, it's part of like our processes, you know, our sales processes, look, this is what traffic could look like. But it's like, you know, it's how you get there, it's how you display it, it's how you communicate to clients. And that's obviously the important thing. And I think, you know, obviously different clients, you know, when you grow in an agency, you will encounter different clients as well. So we've got clients that we've been working with since our infancy and don't ever really speak to them. Literally, it is, they get a report, they're dead happy with the reports, but, you know, they rank top for a lot of keywords. And, you know, say they're the best types of clients to have, the most profitable types of clients to have, not necessarily the best types of clients to have. But then you've got, you know, the clients as we've started to take on bigger businesses, ones that, you know, might have an internal SEO person themselves. They're the ones that are trying to learn from us as well. So it's not just about the results. It becomes about the knowledge of the team as well. And they're getting stuff, not just, and you know, it might be that in 12 months' time, then types of clients aren't working with us because they've learned everything they can and learn from us. And now they're going to grow their own internal SEO team. And I suppose that's something you've just got to deal with when you're an agency owner.
Yeah, definitely. It's the growth trajectory. I mean, you've put your heart and soul into growing, helping a business to grow, to lose them. You know, yeah. I mean, it's not realistic for an agency to retain 100% of the clients. It's just not. I've never heard any agency do that. You know, yeah. So the lifespan of a client, you know, has to be taken into consideration on that. But when it comes to the future of agency world, where do you think the future of agency world is heading?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because I've kind of been projecting, you know, as a company, what our goals are for like the next couple of years. And, you know, we've obviously had the growth that we've had, which has obviously been really good. But now I've started to look at, I've started to look at what the next couple of years look like. And we've started to explore trends. I'm starting to see what I've started to see, not just obviously with our own type of business, but what I'm seeing a lot of other agency owners talk about themselves is I think the specialist agencies, the ones that specialize in certain areas. So, you know, it's interesting because I'm sat here saying it as an agency owner that, you know, probably our speciality is, you know, taking local campaigns and then turning them national. So taking local type businesses to national type businesses, then types of campaigns. But we don't necessarily say we specialize in one area of SEO. So whether it's, you know, your digital side, your content writing, your technical side, I do think that the bigger businesses now, the ones with the big chunky budgets, they're the ones that are going to start just saying, right, I just need a technical SEO agency. I just need a digital, and I've started to see that already, or I just need a content agency. And I've started to see a bit of a shift towards that when I've been speaking to people as well, where like when we've had inbound leads come in, people have said, I don't necessarily need that other stuff doing because I've got a developer who's took care of all our technical stuff previously, or they already had their own in-house content writer, or they've got a PR company that's doing digital PR for them. So I think I can imagine there's got to be a lot more collaboration with other teams. I think, you know, at the minute, our campaigns will collaborate with, you know, if they've got a social media team, you know, we'll send them content that we've been writing and they'll get it, you know, shared. They'll run ads on it, that type of stuff for PR. You know, if we do like a digital PR campaign, that'll then be amplified through social media, that type of stuff, staying with email marketing campaigns. But it's very rare that we're kind of collaborating with other experts in the SEO industry. I've got a feeling that's going to start to happen in the future.
Yeah, I have seen quite a few specialized agencies, you know, seeing the growth in that. So literally, yes. You know, but the way that it goes about, they said, well, we can't be held responsible if we're only taking care of one piece of the jigsaw. You can't come to us and say, look, you're responsible for this, because it is a collaboration of every piece of the puzzle. And I think once you start dealing with specialized agencies, it is more of a you're buying a sort of product, a service, you know. We will pay you to fix the technical SEO on the site, and that's what we've done, you know, and without the actual, you know, responsibility that goes behind it, because you can't be have an agency be made responsible for things that's not in their control. And I think if you're only taking care of one certain aspect of the whole SEO bubble, you cannot be held responsible. Obviously, yeah. Agencies that see a massive spike, they'll take, you know, that credit, but, you know, but not the overall responsibility. And I think that, as you say, that it's just plugging different aspects in from all different places. But realistically, they all have to get on and trust each other to, you know, communicate that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm starting to see that myself. And I think, you know, things are heading in that. 100%. I think it's not because Google's changing as a search engine. You know, it might not even be Google in 10 years' time. There might be another search engine. Obviously, you know, younger people are using TikTok. I see a lot of studies about people saying TikTok's become the biggest search engine. Don't necessarily agree with that because obviously it's different types of searches. But it's I think search engines are going to change. Search engines are going to develop. Obviously, you look at, you know, AI tools are becoming search engines. Obviously, SGE. I mean, that just opens up another can of worms, which I'm sure you don't want to talk about right now. But I think it is. It's going to be about. I think if not necessarily putting your eggs all in one basket, but I think it is going to be, there's going to be lots of opportunities, there's going to be a lot of things that are coming up where, you know, if you've got content heavy strategies, they can work, or you've got PR heavy strategies, they can work. And I just think that's the way I think a lot of businesses are looking at things now.
Yeah, I do think it's about understanding what works for what platform. Like, I know businesses that are doing extremely well through TikTok SEO, you know, but it's a certain type of business, you know, that works very well for them, but not necessarily will work well for these over here, you know. And I think it's that understanding of, you know, from a business perspective, where you need to focus your time moving forward. And I think as an agency, it's understanding all these different aspects. And it's not the same as it was years ago where you said, yeah, we've done that for that, it'll work for you.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, nailed it. I think it's at the minute you look at SEO agencies and you do say, look, you automatically associate that with Google. But you also assume, like, we've got clients at the minute who think we can help them with the you know, the podcast on YouTube that they've done. And don't get me wrong, we probably could. Are we set up to do it? Probably not. So it is, and it's the same with TikTok. Like, you hear about TikTok SEO, and your client says, can you do TikTok SEO? And I think that this is where the specialists are going to crop up. And there will, and they might not necessarily be, you know, big agencies, but they'll be small specialist agencies that they can clear up in their space, or it might have a shorter lifespan than you know, a traditional SEO agency, because, you know, once people move off that platform, they can't still be a specialist in it.
Yeah. Now, is there anything that we haven't already spoken about that you feel that the audience really needs to know?
To be honest, I think we've covered a lot of different points here. I think from an agency world, I think anyone who's in the agency world or looking to get into the agency world, I think there's some gems there for them from both of us.
Definitely. And what sort of conversations would you like to have, and where can people find you?
Yeah, I think going forward, I think probably the best place for me to get in contact with me is either LinkedIn, so I'll be obviously typing my name, Liam Quirk, or Twitter. It's Quirky SEO. So if you type that in, they're the best places anything to do with SEO.
Brilliant. Well, Liam, many thanks for your time today.
Yeah, perfect. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.